Turning together to 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, page 1239 in our rack and pew Bibles. 1239. Paul's last epistle before he went to heaven, this being among the pastoral epistles, certainly can be called a prison epistle, though it's not technically among the group, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon, but he is in prison, but for the last time, and he indicates that he's going to be executed. So really the last words of a dying man. Read the first portion, beginning with verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, speaking to Timothy, who shall judge the quick, the living, and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Crescens to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. And Tychicus have I sent to Ephesus. We'll end our reading there and trust the Lord will, as He promised, bless the public reading of His Word to our hearts. We read together from Proverbs chapter 17 earlier that indicates that a friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And this morning I'd like us to consider the subject, a brother born for adversity. That describes a lot of the saints that we read about in the Bible. But in particular, since we have been considering Titus, I would like to have one more message about this not so well-known saint. We've considered the instruction of Paul to Titus, his fellow worker, fellow church planter, and now pastoring on the island of Crete. But Titus is found in Galatians and in 2 Corinthians, as well as 2 Timothy that was read to us a few moments ago. And it's an interesting context if you place them all together. Really, we find the conclusion that Titus was a brother born for adversity. And again, as you look in passages like Proverbs, what it means there is that you really find if one is a true brother or friend in times of adversity. Fair weather friends may not be dependable in foul weather. Adversity really will show if we are true friends of one another, of God's people. In Proverbs 17:17, the phrase at all times is emphatically first, forward. At all times a friend loveth, and a brother is born for adversity. So friend and brother are parallel, and at all times and adversity are parallel. So adversity would describe times that are not so pleasant. So it's saying that a fair weather friend is not one who loves at all times, but only in good times. This is the description of Titus. Adversity describes the situation that is proving ground for a true friend. That's when you know if you're a true friend, a brother, when adversity comes. The context of Proverbs 17 is a true friend fosters love and covers a transgression and does not gossip about a neighbor in his moral failure. If you read prior to that text, a true friend is wanting to see their brother, their sister, their friend forgiven, and they want to forgive if it's a personal offense, and they're not going to spread that negative around. They're not going to publicize the moral failure of a friend. That's when it says a friend, one who loves, does not repeat a matter. People wonder, what does that mean? Does that mean that they don't continue to provoke? Or does that mean they don't gossip a matter that is a moral failure about their friend? I think that the latter is probably the correct interpretation. Remember, we talked about gossip, how bad news should go always up and not out. Up to the Lord. Up to a parent if it's a situation among siblings and so on. But how often do we spread out our dirty laundry for everyone to see? That's not a true friend. A true friend loves and covers a transgression. Remember 1 Corinthians 13, love covers all things, not uncovers for everyone to see. It says that a true friend is born or brought forth. It's the language of a child being born, brought forth for adversity or a hard place. And certainly Titus was born again. He was born, brought forth for adversity. And you know, a believer, a true believer, when we're born again, we're sent into the world to be colleagues in good times and in bad times. We're our brother's keeper in good times and in bad times especially. And that text about a brother is born for adversity is obviously used in a plain context, a home context as well. Children born help sustain the family in misfortune. And here's the lie. The parents will say, I need to have fewer children because they're a burden. When the Bible says that children are brought forth to relieve burdens, how many who have, I know there are those that were barren and could not have children, but then there are those that chose not to, and when it comes time for misfortune and adversity, they don't have sons and daughters to come to their aid. Selfishness breeds loneliness. The benefit of procreation versus the notion of children being a misfortune. Pay now or you'll pay later. Better to have one vehicle now than to have two vehicles without having children to drive around with you. or grandchildren. Isn't it a special thing to have taken grandchildren down south and took them to breakfast, to Chick-fil-A, and Ben took us and two of the children out to IHOP. And it was just special to have the children in the vehicle and grandchildren and realize that it was worth it all. Tanya and I had one vehicle for the first 12 years of our marriage. It was worth it. Our children are a blessing. The biography of Titus shows he was born for the purpose of adversity indeed. When Titus is mentioned, the context is usually one of challenge. And so I've called him Trustworthy Titus. Trustworthy Titus. Well, you know, in 2 Timothy it says Demas was a fair-weather friend. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Now, Mark had been a fair-weather friend, as you remember from the book of Acts. And in verse 11, he says, "Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry." Mark became a brother born for adversity. You remember when they started their first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas and Mark, they immediately experienced adversity. You remember on the island of Cyprus, Simon Magus. But they saw the governor of the island saved. But when they got to the mainland of Asia, Mark probably saw those threatening mountains that they were going to have to cross all the passes and encounter robbers and so on, that he hightailed it back to Jerusalem. And you remember Paul and Barnabas had a falling out at the end of chapter 15, where Barnabas obviously had Mark as his cousin. He had blood interest, where Paul said, "No, he departed from us. We need the aid of assistance. We can't afford for Mark to depart from us again." So Barnabas took Mark and went back to Cyprus, and Paul took Silas, and the next two missionary journeys we find there in the book of Acts. But Titus was different from Demas, and even different from Mark. We don't have any record of Titus being unfaithful from the very beginning. It says that Crescens apparently was faithful. He went to Galatia to minister, and Titus went to Dalmatia, northern Greece, to minister while Paul was in his final imprisonment. And so Paul was saying that Titus has been faithful right to the end. And so I'd like us to see the context about proving that Titus was trustworthy. He was a brother born for adversity. Well, Galatians was one of the first epistles of the Apostle Paul, if not the first epistle. And in Galatians chapter 2, we read that Titus was put into a pretty sticky situation. You remember the Judaizers loved to circumcise their converts, and those that were their disciples. Well, you remember Titus was a Gentile. He was not a Jew or a half-Jew like Timothy. Titus was a full-blown Gentile. And in Galatians chapter 2, there was kind of a tug-of-war going on, and Titus was in the middle. The Judaizers knew that he was a Gentile, and they were saying, "We want him on our side, but we want him circumcised." That was their poster boy, as it were. But Paul would have nothing to do with it. Apparently, neither did the rest of the apostles want to have anything to do with it. We read that, this is chapter 2 of Galatians, after Paul was 14 years after his conversion in the wilderness, he went again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. What I think it's saying is that these Judaizers were having an effect on Christians in Galatia, and Christians were Judaizing, as it were. They were still bringing back the retired means of worship from the Old Testament that had expired, like circumcision and the Passover. And they knew that Titus was uncircumcised, and they didn't want to offend their respected countrymen. And yet Paul and Titus refused to have Titus circumcised because circumcision had transitioned into baptism, as the Passover had transitioned into the Lord's Supper. But you know, this could have been a time where Titus said, "I didn't sign up for this. I've not been converted very long, and now I'm already the source of strife among the people of God and the Jews." And everywhere he went, he probably faced those that knew he was a Gentile, and word would travel that he was uncircumcised. And so you can imagine the dirty looks that were sent Titus's way, and the people that would not want a dog, a Gentile, an uncircumcised dog, as David called Goliath, uncircumcised Philistine. He probably had those remarks sent his way. So you can imagine this, Titus would be tempted to say, "Look, I didn't sign up for this, and this is too much drama that I'm going to cause." But no, he was faithful. It indicates that he stuck with the Apostle Paul and the people of God and was willing to take the hit so that he could serve the Lord as the Lord desired for him. What does it take for us to be knocked off the path of obedience? A little bit of persecution, a little bit of difficulty, adversity. No, Titus was trustworthy in the controversy of Judaism. And it's still happening today. There's controversy involved among those that are teaching works righteousness and so on. We need to be faithful to the Lord. And there are times when there are debates and controversy involved. And we ought to be willing to be faithful among the people of God. Secondly, in 2 Corinthians 7, there's the context of taking a letter to Corinth regarding the sin of incest that occurred in the camp. Titus was facing an explosive situation when he took Paul's letter to Corinth. You remember, 1 Corinthians reveals that there was a man in the church that apparently had an affair with his father's wife. It would have been his stepmother. You think that would be unthinkable, and yet the LGBT plus, the plus, will fill in the blank for the next 50 years if the Lord doesn't tarry, if the Lord tarries. Unbelievable things have been happening, and the Bible calls these people inventors of evil things. There's a sense in which nothing is new under the sun, but then there's a sense that there are things new under the sun. New sins being invented by people. And yet even the heathen felt it was repulsive to have an affair with your father's wife, with your stepmother. And yet Titus took the letter. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Again, we're going, even though we're not going chronologically in the Bible, we're going chronologically in time to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, where we read, and you can read through yourself at another time. Paul had lost sight of Titus, as it's revealed earlier in 2 Corinthians, and then he found him, and Titus then went to Corinth. And we read that they were comforted by Titus because his spirit was refreshed by the Corinthians, verse 13. And that Titus was a man that had great inward affection toward the Corinthians. And yet, it was a people that had great problems. And yet, you see that he was a man that was in love, was love, a man who loved those that had problems. That he had that love that suffers long and is kind. But the context here is that Paul admitted, he realized that the people had responded and were going to put the man out and excommunicate him from the church, but that he eventually repented. And Paul speaks in verse 11 about them revenging their disobedience by carefulness and clearing of themselves and indignation, fear, and vehement desire and revenge and so on. You've approved yourselves clear in this matter. But Titus is the one that went take this letter and to visit a church that had so many problems, as we read from 1 Corinthians. So again, a brother born for adversity, trustworthy in the difficulty of scandal. And how often when scandal comes to a church, the people leave because of the adversity, because they excommunicate the one who commits scandal, and because they feel that every church ought to be perfect when every scandal comes, then it's time to leave. Lord Jesus taught us that the devil is going to put tares in the church. He's going to try to put problems in the church. How does the church respond to scandal is the key. Not that the scandal is there. We should not be surprised when scandal hits a church, when difficulties come. It's a challenge how we're going to respond to these things. And Titus was right there. Paul could trust him to go to a church that had a recent scandal and be able to minister very carefully and lovingly to see the church go forward. And he basically took a letter that said how Paul was relieved that the church had responded well and dealt with the situation biblically. And Titus was the man that Paul could confide in to delicately handle the situation. And then in 2 Corinthians 8, verses 6, 16, and 23, Titus is mentioned again as being trustworthy in adversity. He accepts the exhortation of Paul to take the collection, or take the exhortation to collect money from Corinth for the poor saints in Jerusalem. That's always a delicate situation. Here, I want you to go collect money from the Corinthians. And again, that certainly can pose problems. And Paul, if you remember that Paul had to, was when he wrote some epistles, and especially to the Romans, he was misunderstood. He was preaching another gospel, and he had to explain that this is the way I preach, that we've, and Romans just spells it out, that we lack righteousness and God's provided righteousness, and righteousness reigns over unrighteousness in our lives and so on. And this is what it looks like in the church and in the world if we are righteous people. But Paul could send Titus to collect for the saints because he knew he was trustworthy. And those who handle the monies of churches should be trustworthy people. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 6. We desired Titus that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also. In other words, we've encouraged you to take up the offering, and Titus is there to ensure that you finish that desire. Verse 16. Thanks be to God which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. He cared that these people would be generous. Verse 23. Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you. And so Paul was saying, I have full confidence in him that he's a faithful, trustworthy servant. And then when he takes your monies, he's not going to pilfer. He's not going to steal. He's not going to pull from the bag like Judas Iscariot did. And yet you find that that so often is a problem in churches where people, especially ministers, are pilfering from the bag. The love of money is the root of all evil. And God was so growing His servant Titus that he was naive, if you will. What's the word? He was simple. He was trustworthy. He did not have a love of money. The fourth context, of course, is the island of Crete. We've just considered the book of Titus. How would you like to be left on an island with liars and vicious people who lust and are lazy? He was trustworthy in the agony of ministry on the island of Crete. Paul trusted Titus to be left on the island to establish churches. That Titus believed that God saves sinners, that He saves liars, but that doesn't mean that they simply become Christians, but the Lord changes liars into truth tellers. He changes lion-like, vicious people into gentle people. He changes lustful people for things and materialistic people into people that are generous, that are giving. He changes lazy gluttons into diligent servants of the Lord who are self-controlled and filled with the Holy Spirit. And Titus was the man to send to Crete. And again, you have a man that was willing to step into a difficult situation, to remain on the island, and to see churches established and elders changed, chosen for these churches that were Cretans, who had been liars and who had been mean-like people and people who were lazy. How the Lord changes us, doesn't He? Slowly but surely. People aren't changed necessarily instantly, and certainly we're imperfect. But the Lord, as we behold His glory, changes us into His image. So, it seems like every context where we find Titus, it's an adverse situation. It's a situation that can be very explosive. He was a man born for adversity. And of course, our reading in 2 Timothy, the fifth context where we read of Titus, is the Apostle Paul is in jail for the last time. He's going to be executed. Christianity is not popular in the Roman kingdom. Remember, Claudius Caesar booted all the Jews from Rome. You read in history that it was because of one called Crestus. And most historians believe that Crestus is Christ. And the Jews who had been arguing with Christians over the law of God and over the gospel was too much for the Romans. And then they slowly were able to be brought back to Rome. But remember, that's why Paul was able to meet with Aquila and Priscilla, because they had been deported from Rome. But here, Titus, in the climate of martyrdom, was a man that was faithful to the Lord and a true friend to the Apostle Paul. Jesus knew what it was like to have friends depart from Him. Paul was stung by Demas, who loved this present world. Now, I don't know if this is saying where Demas was lost, and like Judas Iscariot, adversity, it revealed what was really within his heart, or a believer that was backslidden, that just love of money was a temptation. But Titus was a man that stood firm. He was a brother born for adversity, a friend that at all times loves. He was a foul weather friend as well as a fair weather friend. He was trustworthy in the adversity of persecution. And we read that Titus went to Dalmatia to continue preaching the gospel. I'm sure he would have loved to have been in Rome to visit Paul and to see and to be a comfort to him to his last hour. I'm sure Paul would say, "No, Timothy, we can't lose two of us at once. Continue preaching the gospel. Take the baton from me. My time is at hand. My departure from this world into the next has come. But your time has not yet come. Preach the gospel." So he could trust Crescens to Galatia. And he probably sent Artemis to Crete, because he wasn't sure whether Artemis or Tychicus was going to Crete, but we were told that Tychicus ends up in Ephesus. So Artemis must have went to Crete, and Crescens to Galatia, and Titus went to Dalmatia to preach the gospel. And on he went, serving the Lord as a true friend. So it seems every single context where Titus is mentioned is a context of adversity, of difficulty, and there he is appearing. And you know, isn't it true that in the kingdom of God and in every church, when the going gets tough, there are people that emerge all the time. The same people, it seems, are right there in the thick of it. And the question again comes to us, what does it take to stop us? What does it take for us to renege on our covenant relationship with one another? What does it take to break the covenant of brotherhood in Christ? Jesus went all the way to the cross for you and me. He's our elder brother that was born for adversity. Oh, what adversity he had to experience to pay for our sins. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. Are we going to be faithful to our elder brother when the difficulty arises? When we might lose friends, we might lose jobs, we might not get promotions, we might have loved ones that hate us and separate from us. Are we going to be faithful to the Lord and to His people? What will it be said as we end our lives? Will we end our lives well? Will it be said of you or me, "They departed from me, having loved this present world"? They chose to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Birds of a feather stick together. I trust that the birds that you and I want to stick with, the birds of a feather that are faithful to the Lord, that are brothers and sisters born for adversity, that will be with you, will be with one another when the time becomes difficult, when it's not fashionable to be a Christian, when the Lord's day is so maligned and so ignored and so dismissed today, will we still be faithful to the Lord in this climate of compromise, in this climate of materialism? Titus was truly a trustworthy brother in the Lord. God help us to be like Him. Isn't this the Lord using this biography as indicative, as a pointer? I want you to be like this. Be faithful to the end. He that perseveres to the end, the same shall be saved. Let us not lose what we have wrought, but obtain a full reward. Be faithful to the end, loyal to one another, in a covenant relationship as the people of God. Amen.